the things I love about San Diego Young Adult events, especially back when I did the Young Adult 1823 or 1825, Patrick, I can't remember. 1823 or 1823, is they have a time for like Q&A afterwards. So, you know, if you have any questions about why I chose to name my children what I did, or about God's goodness, or whatever it is, or about how the Astros probably didn't win the game tonight, you can check that for me. Questions. I'll take questions from you guys now if you'd like to ask. Yes, sir. I'm from the northwest part of Houston. I'm actually like 30 miles from downtown Houston, so I'm like in the suburbs, kind of like you are up here, right? So I feel at home here. You're in Kingwood? Kingwood is just like on the northeast side of Houston. I'm on the northwest side of Houston. Tomball, close to Tomball. So I'm really from Tomball, which is like old school Texas. Yeah, like still feels like a small community because Houston's too darn big. So, yeah, so I'm from Houston, and I try to go there as little as possible. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Say that again. Okay, we're done with questions. By the way, that was not a question. Damn it. Okay, L.A., go get them, Patrick. Did you know Patrick likes the Dodgers? Thank you. We have that in common, San Diego fans. I'm one of you now. I'm joining with you. Dodgers. What else? Oh, man. I think it is on my phone. I'll show it if there's any more beer, but guess what? They floated the keg. You all drank a lot of beer tonight. You're like, I didn't have enough. I'm still in my first. Oh, I should share that. Okay, if you want to see Papa Cielo, you're going to have to come find my phone with me, and I'll show you. That's kind of how it works. Okay. Other questions? Yes. Yeah, good. Woo! How do the transcendentals point to the existence of God? So the transcendentals are meant to be signs of God, right? They're supposed to like give us a clue, like a marker. And I like to use this. A friend of mine, Father John Parks, he says, so like when you showed up here tonight, right, you all had a road to drive on. How many of you drove more than a mile to get here? How many of you drove more than 20 miles to get here? I live in La Jolla for two nights, so that's where I came from tonight. Two nights, by the way. I go back. But when you drove here, you all saw signs, right? Like you saw a sign that said, like, what's this area called? Carlsbad? So you saw like a sign, and you know, it could say like, I know it didn't quite say this on the road, but like Carlsbad, 10 miles. You get a little closer. Carlsbad, 5 miles. But when you finally get here, you don't see the signs anymore, right? Because you're in the middle of Carlsbad, like you're experiencing Carlsbad. So when you showed up here at the parish, you no longer need a sign to get here because you're here at St. Elizabeth Seton. So signs are meant to point to a reality. And the reality, that was right on cue. So the reality is not something that's like beyond our imagination or beyond our sight or beyond the ability to know or to comprehend. So the signs of God's truth, beauty, and goodness are markers along our path in life. So when you see something that's beautiful, like a sunset, it should point to a small reality that God is beautiful. When you hear something that's true, it should point to the truth of God himself. When you see something good or experience goodness in your life, like good desire, good relationship, that should point to the goodness of God. So these are signs, are markers of the reality that God is the ultimate truth, the ultimate beauty, and the ultimate goodness. Because as humans, we have senses, right? Our five senses. They're supposed to lead us and be signs to help us comprehend that which is beyond our sight in heaven, which is God himself. I don't know if that helps at all, but that's a way I like. Father John Parks likes to explain the reality of signs and when you arrive there. Does that help at all? Okay, good. Yes. Yep. So when my daughter that we lost, Mary Claire, when she was born, I remember this vividly, that like, so I'll share the moment real quickly. It's not too graphic, but like baby's coming out, right? Like I have one job in the delivery. I'm first time dad at this moment, right? So Pamela, listen up. So I'm waiting. Well, you'll have to share your husband with this because you'll be busy. But so like my child is coming, and at the time we didn't know boy or girl. Okay, so like we chose for it to be a secret. We know this is little girl, right, Rose? So we didn't know that, so we had like a boy name and a girl name picked out, and like, by the way, the names we picked out and that we thought we were going to give either boy or girl, it's not one of the names we went home from the hospital with. So like, we had no name baby for like a day and a half. We'd like try them on, like, Bob, no. Jane, no. Like, we were trying on names, right, so when we got home. But anyway, so the baby's coming out, and I have one job as a dad, and that is to like hold my wife's leg. That's it. I think it was just a way that the nurses give you something to do. Now that I think about it, I really wasn't doing a hell of a lot. So I was like holding the leg. I remember I had like rally cap on, like baby's crowning, which means head's coming out. This is a mature crowd, so you don't have to giggle like the teenagers do. So baby head's coming out. And I'm like, yes, baby's coming. And my wife's like, hold my leg. So I'm like holding leg again, feeling real important. Finally, baby comes out. They like cut the umbilical cord. Baby cries. It looks like an alien. It's a little weird. I'm like, that's not like how I see it on television. They hand the baby to me, and I'm like, oh. I'm like staring at this little face for like a full minute. My wife's over there like out of breath, like she's not even looking. And finally she's like, Matt. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, Matt. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, what is it? I'm like, well, it's a baby. She's like, no, boy or girl. I'm like, oh, yeah. Girl? Like process of elimination, like wasn't the first thing on my mind. Baby comes out. I'm looking at this baby's face, which is my little girl, the person that gave me the name Daddy, which, by the way, isn't a title I've ever had before, right? So this child comes out who doesn't know who I am yet, and I've known now for 9 months, and I have every plan and dream for this baby, and I'm looking at her like I'm looking at the face of God. Now, this baby, this little girl, and all of my children, they're not going to do much for me for a long time, right? They're kind of like the dog. Like, I'm going to clean up its poop. It's going to wake me up in the middle of the night. It's going to get sick. It's going to cry. It's going to interrupt. It's going to be the great interrupter in my life. But how do I respond to that? Not like, this isn't quite what I thought it was going to be. I loved these children unconditionally. And that's when I was like, oh, this is how God looks at me. When I make a mess of my life, he's like, perfect. I understood God more as a father and as an unconditional lover when I became a dad than I had ever imagined before. And it was looking at the face of my daughter and all of my children. And I think that's taught me something very indispensable about love. And even so, I'll say, like, look, I love my wife and I choose to love her. But that's not as easy to be an unconditional love as it is for my children, right? Because most of us are like, if we love someone else, we want that affection returned, right? But I realize with my wife, it's a self-sacrificing love for her and for me. But with my children, unconditional, like, just, it's just part of what comes out with the baby. Like, I didn't get an owner's manual how to do this, but I'm just going to unconditionally love. And I think that's how God loves me. And that's changed the way I love my children and changes the way I've seen God. Does that maybe give an example? Because I'm out of breath. I hope that was it. I wasn't even in labor and I'm out of breath. So, what else? Yes. Yep. You just explained how my parents operated, by the way, and her parents. We both have aging parents now, of course. They're both about 70-ish, you know, give or take a couple years. And one of our parents on each side has some big medical needs, so the other spouse is a main caretaker. But they spent so much of their lives pouring into us that now that we're all out of the house, they don't have this great friend group of like other couples because they poured so much into their children, they didn't pour into each other. And they don't have marriages right now that my wife, I think my wife and I are looking at like, we don't want to be our parents when we grow up. And maybe some of you have similar experiences, like you realize, I'm really glad my parents think I'm pretty damn cool. Like, that's good for me. Like, my parents, my mom and dad still show up on Wednesday nights at our youth group because my brother Dave is the youth minister with me. My mom and dad still show up on Wednesday nights at our youth group to pay for us and sign our registration forms, yes. Youth minister in the front row, y'all. Okay. So my parents still come. They love me. Like, but when one, I remember like for my parents' like 40th wedding anniversary, like, we're going to send y'all on a cruise. And my dad said, well, y'all are coming, right? I'm like, no, you're going on a cruise. And my mom's like, I don't want to go on a cruise with him. You've got to choose it. And I'm going to tell you, young church, choose it now. So when you find your significant other, pour into each other and remember that you loved them first. My children have asked me, like, do you love mommy more than me? And I've said, yeah, I do. Now, we still have some more discussion after I say that. But, like, I do. I love her. Differently and more. But you are a product of our love. Because we loved each other so much and more than I could imagine, that's why you're here, buddy. Then we had to have the sex talk. But I mean, you know, one time my son said to me, he said, Daddy, why do you say that, like, I'm part you and part mommy? Like, I have mommy's DNA. How'd your DNA get mixed up in all this? Son, just know I love you. So I think you have to choose it now. Right? Be intentional about it. Don't lose sight of the fact that you are called to your spouse and your children are a fruit of that. And then finally, always have friend groups. This kind of thing, like, I wish my parents did a better job of this. Having friends, hanging out with their friends. So now, as they're empty nesters, they'd be pouring into their friendships, which also, I think, nurtures relationships of spouses together, too. Having good friends will build your marriage.